Hello. For those of you who... Oh, hi. Didn't expect that. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Georgia Harris. I'm a rising junior at Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee. There, I'm a religious studies major. And to answer everyone's next question, no, I do not plan on becoming ordained, which you'll probably thank me after this sermon. I'm also minoring in education. And yes, I do plan on getting my teaching credential and eventually pursuing a career in high school administration. I've grown up in this church, and I've stood at this pulpit many times for many different reasons, but this is the first time that they're fully letting me run the show. If asked what I would define as a community, my definition would be this church. This is the place where I've had amazing relationships with a myriad of different types of people. This is the place that has continually encouraged me to follow my heart, knowing that I will have a family of people here to support me. This is the place where people have shown me the love of God and how to have a wonderful relationship with Him. This is the place that has helped shape and mold me into the woman I am today. This is my definition of a community. Will you pray with me? Lord, for your amazing grace, sung and resounding, living and loving, forgiving and forgiven, thanks be to you. I pray that you guide and guard our living, and what we do and say points to you. Thank you for today and the opportunity for us to hear your word and share in your community together. Lord, keep us ever mindful of the needs of others. Amen. So today's scripture comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur on another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching." The dominant theme in Hebrews is that through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the believer now has a complete access to God and knows how to worship God fully and authentically. Now that all sins have been forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus, there's no need for sin offering sacrifices. Any relationship with God has been made righteous, so there's no need to have continuous worry about where your favor stands with God. As Jesus has shown through his own example of a new way to be in communion with God, one who believes is to express his or her faith outwardly by good and loving deeds, by meeting together, and in encouraging one another. Therefore, the spiritual energy of a believer is no longer shaped by liturgical precision, but instead is lived out in community and service. Since everyone is now invited into the proximity of God's glory through the amazing sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit, she or he is encouraged to express this new relationship not in division, but with loving and peaceful fellowship. Our relationships with God have been cleansed and made good. So therefore, cultivate community through good works and being humble with one another. One of my favorite shows for as long as it was running was Extreme Makeover Home Edition. The show ran for 200 episodes, wherein each episode told a new story about a family. A group of designers and builders would take only 1 week to destroy an old and inadequate house and build a new one for a family. A family would send in their video explaining their needs, and also the video would portray the ways that the family was giving back to the community and working to better their community through service. Then, once the design team goes to meet the family and send them on vacation, they bring in a professional building company and hordes of volunteers to make sure the house gets done in 1 week. At the end of the episode, a house is presented to the family that caters especially to their needs. Today, I'm going to tell you specifically about the Serta family from Las Vegas that was featured on the show. The Serta family is Dad Chuck, Mom Terry, and their daughters Molly and Maggie. Molly and Maggie have both been diagnosed with primary immune deficiency disease, also known as PIDD, which makes them almost completely homebound, with their mom as their primary caregiver while their dad works. Their house was falling apart at this foundation and was ridden with mold, mildew, and asbestos, making it a toxic environment for the girls. Even though Terry is a full-time caregiver for Molly and Maggie, she has made a foundation called Artful Hearts that paints murals in treatment rooms, in hospitals, and children's treatment centers. She also crafts Native American-style flutes that are auctioned to raise money for foundations like Make-A-Wish. When asked why she continuously gives back, even though her family is in such a rough situation, Terry answered, "Every talent that is given should be used. Not one, not two, but every single part of your talent that you have been, that every single part of your talent that you have should be tapped into and used in a positive way. Everyone has been given something they can give back to make the world a better place, even just for one person." So Terry could sit at home and think that she was the one who was deserving because of their situation. But instead, she's continuously working to help others. Terry acts as an encourager to push others towards good deeds, but does it with humility. She continuously works so others could have a sense of community. I'm going to show you a clip that shows one of the members of the design team of the staff of Extreme Makeover Home Edition at one of the treatment centers in which Terry has painted a mural. Then you'll see them sending a video to the family on vacation. Yeah, it's that one, John.
Since Terry has done all this work at the Cancer Center, I thought it'd be great to have those kids help me decorate the homeschool room. And they love fairies, and they love frogs, and they love swimming under the ocean. And Terry has brought all that to a tough, tough place. She tries to add color to life, and that's what we're going to try to do in the homeschool room.
Okay, you guys, what do you say we let the family know what we're doing here?
Yeah!
All right. Hi, Terry. Hi, Serta family. I hope you guys are having a great time on vacation. Terry, listen, we are learning more and more this week about all the lives you've touched with Artful Hearts. And I am in a very special place right now, and a few people would like to say hello. Say hello, everyone. Say thank you to the family.
Terry, we have to bring our daughter here quite a bit for chemotherapy, and we spend a lot of time here. It's just nice to be able to have beautiful scenery to look at in the rooms, and it just kind of helps us forget a little bit why we're here. So thank you very much.
My favorite room is the fairy room because I like all the fairies that you painted. Thank you.
A little while after I got diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, I had to come here to get treatments, and it's just so bright and colorful. It made me feel less scared, so thank you guys so much.
Seeing the children at the Pediatric Cancer Center was just absolutely amazing. Those kids are so incredible, and part of why I did this is just I don't think that children should suffer. And to see those children in that room with the smiles on their faces thanking me, I mean, I thank them, because to be able to do that for those children, that's how I get through my days, is realizing that it just takes a few minutes for me to change somebody's life.
You guys have a great time. Say goodbye, everyone.
Terry is encouraged to do good because of others. Here, you see not only how she encourages people through her actions, but also how she is encouraged by those who come into community because of her. Through her humility, Terry helps push others into community. She's not seeing what she is doing as good or righteous of her, but rather, she is humble in knowing that she has a gift, and she can help cultivate a sense of community in these hospitals because of that. When Saint Benedict emerged as a monk, writing a monastic rule, he was writing at a time when monks were mostly ascetic or living alone and tried to keep themselves as hermetic and far off from others as possible. They believed that total seclusion was the best way to have a relationship with God. Benedict disagreed with this idea because he thought that in order to learn and understand humility, one must live and work in a community. Therefore, in his rule, he encouraged a life where monks lived in communities, living, working, worshiping, and being in constant contact with one another. In order to live in a community and be in a position to cultivate a good one, a person must learn humility. This humility is best learned through relationships with others. In the same way, in order to be in good communion with God, there also must be that same humility in that relationship. Being in collective with others, one is forced to humble themselves in the same way they need to be humbled before God. So for the past 3 weeks, I've been in Tennessee taking a class. After the first week, the group went on a whitewater rafting trip. For those of you who know me, know I can be stubborn and very, very bossy. So naturally, when we arrived at the Oki River, I was ready to be in the front of the raft so I could be in charge, or at least give myself the illusion that I was the one in charge. Along with me on the boat were five other girls who I'd barely known before that week when we started class, and our river guide, JT. We were in no position to work well as a team at all, but before we got on the water, JT instructed us on what to do when he would call out the commands. He would say things like, "Forward one," and we were supposed to take our oars in unison and row forward once together so that we would have a sort of smoother ride. It seems simple, right? No. Immediately, as we got on the river, we were continuously getting stuck on rocks and turned in the wrong direction because we couldn't work as a group. Once we were stuck on what seemed like our 25th rock in 5 minutes, it seems like we were never going to make our way all the way down the river. This was the moment that the others on the raft and I realized that we needed to surrender our stubbornness so that we were able to work as a team. So once we were back on the river, JT yelled, "Forward two." Claire, the other girl in the front with me, and I looked at one another, and once we knew that we had the attention, once we knew that we had the attention of the rest of the group in the boat, we in unison put our oars in the water and rowed forward twice. Amazingly, we were no longer getting stuck on rocks and getting all out of shape once we began to work together. Once we were able to act as a community and as a team, as we encouraged each other and relied on one another, the ride became less stressful, way more enjoyable, and felt that even in my short time on the river, we had cultivated a strong and reliable community with each other because we were able to come together and put aside our stubborn differences to be humble and encourage one another. So I'm going to show you a second clip of the family coming home. You'll not only see the reactions of the family, but also of the builders and the rest of the community.
When we got out of the limo, we saw just that ocean of people. All of them had gathered there and helped build that house. It is a warm, loving, giving community. It was just a pure love moment. And that's something I will carry with me forever.
I gotta kiss the bus.
We've never had that happen.
It is now. Keeping it real, brother.
Are you guys ready to see what's behind the bus? You know what to say, Sandy. Here we go. Bus driver,
move that bus!
When the bus moved and we saw our new home and how beautiful it was just amazing. Our house that we had before wasn't home, it was a nightmare. You know, the house visually was a nice looking house, but inside the walls it was killing my children. And the house, I think, is going to give my children a better chance at living a fuller life.
There's no words to explain it.
Oh my gosh, unbelievable.
If you guys love the house, you got to give a big hug to Brent Wright and Daniel Bartlett from Wright Custom Homes. Come on over here, guys. You must be Maggie. Wow. Your new house.
Amazing.
I think adversity can either drive people down or it can bring out the best in people. And just like Chuck and Terry and their entire family have shown, their adversity, instead of driving them down and making them feel sorry for themselves, it's helped them to rise above that and to give back and to be an inspiration for others. It feels great to have the opportunity to help them out and provide them with a home that will be one less worry for them.
So before you go inside, you can actually take your mask.
This clip is the perfect example of community. Here, you see a group of people coming together to do good because of the encouragement of others that push them into service and good deeds. We heard the contractor reflect the way that those who were able to come together were humbled by their opportunity to engage with others in giving back in the way that they were inspired by the humility of the Serta family. This shows how if we continuously humble ourselves, then we are able to create community and therefore create a continuous cycle of humility that encourages us into positive relationships with each other that propels us into doing good for those around us. To conclude, I'm going to tell you a story. In a mountain village in Europe, many centuries ago, there was a nobleman who wondered what legacy he might be able to leave for his townspeople. At last, he decided to build a church. No one saw the plans for the building until it was finished. When the people came for the first time, they marveled at its beauty and completeness. Then someone asked, "Where are the lamps? How will it be lighted?" The nobleman pointed to brackets, which were all through the church on the outside walls. Then he gave each family a lamp, which they were to bring with them each time they came for Sunday worship. "Each time you are not here," said the nobleman, "that area of the church will be dark. This is to remind you that whenever you fail to come to church, some part of God's house will be dark." How can you be a contributor to your community and encourage one another? How will you make a presence? How will you make your presence a working part of a community as a whole? Where can you humble yourself before God and use the light that He has provided you to create community?